Hey friends, John and Amy here with Effortless Relationships. We're going to be talking all about relationships and how we can actually have a flow and an effortlessness to it. So we just want to talk to you about what's worked for us. And, you know, relationships only are relationships to the degree we don't follow formula. How many of you know that it's all about a moment by moment, day by day experience, and it's always new? There's something always fresh and new about it. And so when Amy and I, when God brought us together, really, it was pretty supernatural in the way that it happened. And even if it doesn't happen this way for you, you can have a really good marriage or good relationship, but it's just because we wanted to wait for the best. And don't beat yourself up if you haven't. You felt like, oh man, I'm really struggling and I don't even know if they're the one, kind of thing. But just know that if you're in love with him and you feel that you're supposed to be with them, then we're just going to share our experiences with you so that you can have hope and so that you can see that it is possible. It doesn't mean that we don't have rough waters sometimes. And we don't, for the most part, we agree on everything, but it's just, you know, we might have little irritations or spats because of just the stress we've been under during certain seasons. But we don't have like these big blowout fights, and we'll tell you why. We'll explain why. We may have something that we disagree on, or just usually it's just out of, you know, flesh irritations or just the season we're going in because it's just a stressful time. But we are quick to come back together and talk about our feelings and talk about what's happened because we know the importance of leaving anger unchecked, you know, or frustration or confusion and all that stuff. We know to shut the door quickly. But anyway, from the very beginning when we first met, you know, we had already undergone a lot of development within ourselves with the Lord singly. Mm-hmm. And it's important that if you're single, take that time, you know.
Yeah, it's so vital.
Take the time to really cultivate that inward relationship with the Lord, because when you come together, you want to have this strong foundation. You don't know what you're joining with exactly. All you see is the dating period, which is all just butterflies and roses. Mm-hmm. Which is great.
And dopamine shots.
You have this intoxication bliss that happens, which is wonderful. But then if you don't ask the right questions during that dating time frame, then you wake up one day and you're married and then you go, oh no, I didn't know this about my husband, that he leaves his socks and underwear laying all over the place and he refuses to pick them up, you know, and the list goes on. So anyway, what's worked well for us is we heard three words on our wedding day that someone told us that really stuck. And it was just simply communicate, communicate, communicate. And really, this is a big deal for guys especially. Mm-hmm. Most men just don't want to communicate, or they don't know how to communicate.
And why is that?
Well, it's mainly because, you know, the way we're wired, you know, women do have more words than men, but because they express themselves emotionally and they know how to be in touch with their emotions. And men, they've either been trained not to say a whole lot, or they just communicate by action and doing things like, I'm going to go work a job and provide for my family, kind of thing. That was one generation that said that that was their only responsibility. So then they shut off their emotions. Well, those things carry down to each generation. And really, women like to outward process. They like to speak it out. Whereas a lot of men, even though we do outward process, we tend to sit and think a lot and watch and observe. And so that's why you see men gravitate towards video or gravitate towards these video games. And I'm not saying this is all good. Okay, guys, I'm just giving an example. Maybe you can relate. But we watch and observe, and then we save energy by not talking all the time. And but the problem with that is that we're expensing energy somewhere. Mm-hmm. And if it's at the job all day, then you're leaving nothing for your wife or your girlfriend. You're leaving nothing left. So a good thing that Amy and I have done when I've had a long day, okay, and I've spent a lot of my energy around people, because I currently, you know, I've managed, you know, up to 100 employees in healthcare. And because I spend a lot of energy, then what I need is just my downtime when I get off the job. And Amy knows that. At first, she didn't really understand it, and I didn't really know how to convey it. I just knew that I needed some downtime.
Which happens to a lot of couples.
Yeah.
They don't know that up front. So that's usually a first thing that hits new married couples. Like, why doesn't he want to be around me? Why is he saying he needs space all of a sudden? When we were dating, all we did was hang out all the time. And now all of a sudden he's withdrawing or needing to go somewhere else without me. And so it becomes really confusing. But when you do the study, and here's why it's so, so important to get understanding, because once we have understanding, then we'll be able to prefer what each other's needs are. And so for a man, even when it comes to testosterone, they've completely drained it out during the day with work and all that stuff, and they need time and space to just be alone for a little bit. It's usually maybe just be 20 minutes, 30 minutes. They just need some downtime to do nothing, so that their testosterone and just what they need as a man can rebuild back up to be able to show you, you know, love and affection, what you need. And without that, that's when they get irritable and, you know, they just need to get away. And so it's just how a man is wired. And now, of course, a godly man will choose wisely what he does with his time.
Yeah.
You know, if he just needs to go away for a walk with the Lord versus, you know, like just the secular world where they go to the bar, you know, after their work, or, you know, they go, or you can do something recreational, you know, or whatever your hobby is. That's what's going to heal your body. But yeah, just be led by the Lord in what you need in that.
Yeah. And to the men listening to this, I think it's important for you to understand that, you know, look, you wanted that woman in your life so bad when you were single. And you're like, you would have done anything to have her in your life. But now that you've hunted her down, and you've got the quote kill,
and
the newness is worn off, now you're looking for the next shiny object. And a lot of times that is, okay, I got the girl. Now I'm going to go play. I'm going to go have fun with the guys. Let me encourage you that, first of all, your wife should be your best friend. And if she's not, then cultivate that relationship by going back and rekindling what you loved about each other to begin with.
And doing fun things together.
Yeah, doing fun things and adventurous things together. Just take the action and do it if you want to save your marriage or your relationship, right? But I want to encourage you that if you're just hanging out with the buddies all the time, then why'd you get married and why stay married? I mean, if that's going to affect your wife or your girlfriend, your fiance, whatever, if that's going to affect her and she keeps, quote, nagging. You say she's nagging. What she's saying is, wait a minute. We were good friends when we were dating or early on in our relationship. What's the problem now? Did I just become boring to you? And so I know that with men, they need adventure, and you're always looking for the next high. You know, it's some of that's out of balance, but some of that is true because we're hunters by nature. Meaning that we're wired to go out from the beginning of time, to go out and to you know, make it happen or make a living or get the food, you know, way back in caveman days. But we're in a new era now. We're in a new time frame now. And women can do it all themselves. And so it's like, okay, how do you adjust? Well, you adjust by looking inward and going to that conviction and to that place with the Spirit of God and say, okay, how would you treat?
Mm-hmm. The fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah, how would you treat my wife? How would you treat this person in my life? Well, you know how they would. And so it's really give and take. It's if you, and why, you know what, listen, guys, women don't need a whole lot like you think they do. Right. You know, we don't need to go out and buy the $1 million home and the fancy, you know, cars and all that kind of stuff. If your wife does, then, well, that might be another problem. But most women, they're into the little things that matter. And so if you're thinking, okay, well, I'll just wait and spend an entire weekend with you. Let me just go out and hang out with the guys. Let me go out and hang out with the guys Monday through Thursday, and I'll hang out Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with you. Yeah, that's not going to work too well. What works is...
And then you'll be in a worse mess because she'll be full of resentment towards you.
Yeah, what works better is... It's like Amy always says, you know, I'm like almost like a battery charger. Just give me a little charge. I just need a charge by hugging or holding or spending quality time. And then she says she's fine with me going and doing whatever I need to do. Now,
yeah.
I've cultivated a relationship with the Lord. Well, I don't need to go hang out with the dudes all the time. I don't need to go running off and spend a lot of time alone. Why? Because we're best friends, first of all. And then secondly, I get my fulfillment with God and then the call, you know, writing and speaking. Those kind of things give me juice and energy. And then hanging out with some friends once in a while, fine. But even that gets old. It gets boring after a while because it doesn't refuel your tank. Mm-hmm. And so just think, keep those things in mind. You know, the scripture says that no greater love than a man has than this, and he lays down his life for his friend. Mm-hmm. Well, if your wife is your best friend, if your relationship that you have is your best friend, then you're going to lay down your life to a degree. You know, not that you just give it your life entirely away to where you have no fun anymore or no will left. That's being trampled on. But what it is you're preferring one another. You're preferring, and so you're saying, okay, how would Christ treat my spouse?
Heart consciousness.
It's heart consciousness, yes.
Mm-hmm. It's heart consciousness, and it's only going to benefit you. I mean, John has it so good with me, I'm telling you. I am all over him all the time, and praising him and complimenting him, and it's my joy to do things for him all the time because he's so good at satisfying my needs as well. It's a mutual thing back and forth because he's affectionate. He tells me he loves me all day long. So we're talking about things that work, right? Things that work for you. And they have scientifically proven that, you know, physical touch and words of affirmation and hugs and reassurance, because the number one thing for a woman is to feel safe and secure. And if a man, and especially the modern day man, you know, he's wondering, what is my role? What is my role? You know, your role is to help her feel safe and secure, to feel loved. And
it doesn't take a lot.
It doesn't take a lot. It's just those little reassurances. Everything's going to be okay. Or noticing they need help with something and offering to help without them asking. You know, again, it's heart consciousness. If you just go to your heart, how can I bless her? You know, and even ask her, is there anything I can do for you? But it's, again, it's the simple I love yous. It's the simple reaching over and touching, because that's a reassurance that we're good in our relationship. I'm reaching over and touching you to say I love you and we're good. And so they've scientifically proven that it boosts the oxytocin.
Oxytocin.
It's the love chemical in your hormones in a woman. And it totally helps her dial her stress down. And so that's a huge part for men. They like to solve problems. They like to be the hero. And so if you're wanting to be a hero to your wife, that is one of the best things you can do, because they said that women these days are more stressed out than ever. And same with the men. You know, there's a lot on the plates for both. And so, again, if you're wondering, what can I do to, you know, make her happy? You know, it's just, again, it's the simple things. Find out what she needs and find out how you can, you know, just, again, do the simple things.
Yeah. And remember, men and women listening to this, it really only lasts temporarily when you haven't had a heart change.
Yeah.
So if it's all mental assent, if it's all from intellect, and you're just listening to this going, okay, let me write down the formula. You know, Amy said it's the touch and it's the, you know, the quality time and all those things.
No strings attached.
Yeah, but if you're just mental ascending and just saying, okay, well, maybe if I do 1 + 2 + 3, then I'll get these results. The problem with that is you'll have to keep doing it over and over again in that formula. And then you have to keep pumping that baby up, and then you'll get flat out worn out. So our suggestion is to go to the Lord and lay before Him, sit before Him, walk, whatever, in stillness, you know, quiet yourself, in other words, and ask Him to change your heart, to just change your heart, to open you up, move past reason and intellect, and move past the tree of knowledge and into the tree of life. Just ask Him what that looks like for your own life, and then surrender. Keep surrendering until your heart is flooded with doing these things out of your own heart. I don't have to think about a formula, or it's not work for me to say I love her 100 times a day.
Yeah,
it just comes out. It just comes out all the time. And I'm not trying to do that for any other reason than it's in my heart, and it just comes out. Because I do love her, and I'm not saying that to get something from her. And that's the key, you guys.
And I automatically respond with wanting to do something for Him or bless Him or praise Him. And it's natural responses back and forth as God designed. You don't have to overthink it. You don't have to, you know, it's truly real love and the fruit that follows it. But but at the same time, to make this easier for you guys is really, you know, if you want to be good at something, you study, right? You get knowledge and understanding so that you can have respect for each other. Because a lot of, again, right? Without understanding, abuse is inevitable. And so a lot of relationships are abusing each other because of misunderstanding what each other needs.
And staying stuck in that understanding.
Yeah.
You gain it and not want to grow.
Right. Or being self-serving, you know. Well, and that's another thing. What were your expectations when you went into the marriage? Was it about you? Or was it about how can I totally bless this other human being with my life and contribute into their life? And how can I become a better person? Because they are helping me become a better person.
Yeah, no, that's huge. Why is that so important is because we hear people all the time give the craziest reasons for why they got married. Mm-hmm. You know, some will be, well, I had to fulfill my sexual desire. You know, I was sinning too much in sexual sin. And then another one is, well, I just wanted to have fun.
Proverbs. Let's a man's heart burn or whatever.
Yeah.
I married
because my heart, you know, I was burning with lust, you know, that kind of thing. And it's like.
And you think that's going to stop?
Yeah, that's not going to stop afterwards. If you had a sexual problem to begin with, then chances are your spouse is going to get boring after a while, and then you're going to keep hunting, you're going to keep looking, or pornography or whatever. But the point is that you marry because God, first of all, brought you together. And if He didn't, and you married, you just met each other in a bar or whatever, and you got married, God can turn that around to something beautiful. So we're not saying that, you know.
You'll know.
But yeah, and the whole point is that marriage is a sacred thing, right? We know that because you two are becoming one. And then you have a life goal or a vision. You have a calling together. Like Amy and I have the same calling. Mm-hmm. But we waited for the Lord to bring us together, and we had no clue when it was going to happen or how it was going to happen. It just happened when we least expected it, right? But say you're in another situation and it didn't really happen that way for you. You still want to inquire and say, God, what do you have for us as a team, as a couple? Doesn't mean you can't do things individually, but it means that you're going in the same direction, okay? You can tell when two people are going in the same direction. If not, it can be a war. It can be a total war when one person is like a doctor and then the other person can't stand the medical field. Well, how's that working out for you? If one person was born to be a doctor, they're passionate about it, but then they fell in love, you know, And then the other person's like, well, I can't stand the medical field. And then you push it anyway, and then you get married, and then you wonder down the road why you're miserable. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not as if God can't change hearts, but it's way easier if you know that you're going in the same direction. And I would suggest that you get together now, if you don't know what that is, and you pray and you ask God, God, what is the call you have for us? And then don't get impatient. Let it unfold as you're having fun together, and watch for the clues each and every day.
Yeah, and I just want to encourage you guys to again, do it together. You know, as a man, you could feel like, well, this is all relies on my shoulders to lead and be the man of the home. And so you go off and try to figure it out on your own. But what that does to the woman, because you two are one, she's feeling isolated and outside of the box, and her life is now one with yours, intact with yours, and so she can really feel this this scary feeling if you've closed her out and you're trying to figure out a plan by yourself. You two are a team. Bring her in, because she has perspectives and ideas that maybe you didn't see, and it's the two completing each other. You're going to miss out if not including her, and she's going to miss out not including you. And so you're going to have a far, what is it? You know, one can take out 1,000, but two can take out 10,000. And so it's just so important to do it as a couple, and it's a bonding time. They call it the pairing. There's a name for it. It's a pairing bond when you're doing something together like that. And again, you're releasing hormones that are healing your body and your health as well, and bringing that bonding. And so, I mean, why else did you get married? If you wanted to be single and independent, then you should have been single and independent. When you get married, there's a whole greater dynamic taking place for you guys to work as a team together. And you'll both feel a whole lot more fulfilled that way. It's just preferring each other. And it's not a right or wrong. It's like, oh, okay, I see your perspective. And so to not take offense if the one mate says, oh, no, I don't think we should do that way. Or, maybe, let me think about that. But here's what I was thinking. Be open. And just know that you guys are both sharing different perspectives of the facet of the diamond, so to speak. So there's no right or wrong. It's just, okay, let's see how we can bring it together.
Yeah, that's really good, because if two are agreed, then you're much better off. You know, it's like two are better than one. And there's a lot to be said in the Bible and just in the spiritual realm about two being a powerful force. Jesus sent out two by two. It's so they can not only have a companion. Adam brought, God brought Adam a companion. And so it's the companion thing, but also it's a reproductive issue. All right. So you can be fruitful and multiply, but also so that you can have each other's back. When one is down, the other one can pick them up.
Yep.
We do that all the time with each other when we're going through some difficult things. But it's also so you can have a blast together, mm-hmm. doing the Father's will.
Yeah.
Okay, if one of you is just off, meandering or off just kind of, being oppressed and depressed and just kind of wandering in life, and then the other one's like, oh, man, I am focused here. What happened? So you can help encourage the other one. But here's the thing I want to say to the men too. Is men, if you're letting the women just lead all the time, okay? And I'm not trying to say that the man should be the man, all the time here. You're a team, okay?
Yeah, prefer one another.
This thing where women are subservient to men and all that, it's religious nonsense, right? It's mm-hmm. It's the abuse of what we've gone through in society, and it really, we're an equal team. There is no hierarchy in the Trinity with God, and so there's no hierarchy in the relationship with man and woman. He gave Eve to Adam as an equal. Mm-hmm. And so you do it as equally as a team, but if the man is just laying around being lazy and expecting the wife or the girlfriend to do it all the time, then what does that say about the man? And vice versa, where one is just pulling the other as like, quote, dead weight all the time, then you know, it's equally difficult because it's already challenging in a fallen world that we live in sometimes. And so if you're equally up and you're encouraging one another and you're saying, okay, we're going in the same direction, right? And what I mean by same, it could mean this. One of you is doing, you know, say you're a marketer, you're not a marketer, but a designer. Say you're a designer, okay? Well, if the other one, if your spouse likes design, then they can be doing something in that realm of design that looks different, right? But it's the same. So one could be working on a design program, doing graphic design or whatever, and then the other one is putting together all of the accounting or putting together the finances because they're good with numbers and all that. Well, you're still going in the same direction. You're working together towards a goal in business. One can be a chef in a restaurant. You have a calling for a restaurant. One can be the chef. The other one manages the place. Mm-hmm. You know, so...
There's to be lended towards each other. That's the amazing thing of it.
And it can still work. It can still work if one of you... Say, okay, here's the whole point, is if you know that you are both called, which everyone is, and you know what that calling is, it's usually found in your likes and your strengths and what you're good at and what you enjoy doing that is effortless, okay? That's where your calling is mainly found, in service to humanity. And so... one person can totally be in the sports industry if they're called to do that, if they're called to it and they're awake and they're conscious, right? Say they're called to be an example in that and they're good at it. Well, the other person could be designing clothes for that very sports thing. You're still going in the same direction because you're in the same industry. You know what I'm saying? But if one is resentful... one is resentful and say, man, they're always out there playing basketball all the time. I don't understand it. It's their ego and they're playing, you know, basketball with the guys all the time. And then I can't stand basketball. Or, you know what, I kind of like it, but if he would just include me. If he would just include me and you know, and I could really be of help. Like, he's always whining about how bad the basketball attire is, and I'm a designer. I could be designing some of these basketball clothes. Do you know what I'm saying? Why don't we talk about these things and discuss them instead of blowing each other off mm-hmm. by going and doing our thing and saying, oh, you stay at home and take care of the kids, woman. Or vice versa. You know, the woman's off with her girlfriends all the time. And she says, my husband's boring. Well, why is he bored? And why is he boring? You didn't seem to think that when you were dating. What happened? Mm-hmm. So... yeah, there's a lot to talk about on that one. But anyway, we just wanted to give you a snapshot of some of the things that work for us. And we'll fine-tune different messages here. But it's important that you communicate, yes. Guys.
Yeah, it so is. And I know, you know, speaking for women, most of us, we get excited. It's, you know, if the man has the vision, and this is why it's so important. And I know, guys, there's seasons in life where God just flips you upside down and you don't know where you're going in your life. All your dreams that you thought, all the things you thought you were called to, all of a sudden get turned upside down. And it's so important, as hard as it is, is to go and surrender yourself to the Lord and get the new vision and the new plan from Him, and not to harden your heart and get resentful thinking God's rejecting you. He's just bringing something new and better into your life to lead the way. And we as women, our joy is to come alongside and to assist and bring our skills to contribute and to hear God as well with you and to confirm things. But I'm telling you, for a woman, it is so hard when a man goes into depression and they don't have any vision. They're not taking time to be away with the Lord. They're just coping and going through their addictions and whatever. And for a woman, she can start malfunctioning because we are designed to come alongside and to build and to expand. You know, it's the whole thing. Give a woman a house, she'll make it a home. Give her... You know, this, she'll expand it. We're incubators. Whatever you give us, we will incubate and multiply, good or bad. So it's just how we're wired. And, but so just want to encourage you, you know, just we'll support you any way we can, but just to dive in with the Lord and don't give up. Go all in with him. And I know John can speak into that. And there's grace, there's total grace for when you're in seasons of transition.
Yeah.
But what makes us feel so secure is when we see you as men going away and spending time with the Lord and hearing God's heart. It's when that's not happening, then we feel very insecure and unstable, because we know for the most part you are leading the home. You're making the decisions, even though you're, you know, talking things through with us as the wife. But, you know, I think sometimes it's hard maybe for a man to understand that, because they're used to doing things on their own and fighting their way and getting what they need anyway. But us as women, we're entrusting our lives to you. And so, you know, it's a whole different ball game. And I think that's why security is so important for women. And we'll go head over heels and doing anything, you know, for you guys if we feel safe and secure and loved.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And we're not saying that this can't be reversed or it doesn't happen reversed, right, either, because, you know, you have people like Joyce and Dave Meyer, where he does a lot of behind the scenes things, and then she's the spokesperson out front. And they know each other's roles, but they honor one another, okay? Not one is less than the other, guys. We understand that. So we're not just saying it's a male-dominant world here. Amy knows that well. And it's not, we're not to say that women don't have these powerful callings, because they do. Sometimes there are men that really are passionate about staying home with the kids, and they have a real calling for that. You know, and it's so true. It really is true. And he's just as much of a man, mm-hmm, than any other man that doesn't stay home. So we understand that, yeah, guys. She's just making a point to say women want to feel safe and secure, knowing that there is that protection there.
Yeah, there is a vision.
There's a vision. There's a calling. Lord.
Because then we can come into gear and, again, incubate whatever they're getting and make it better, expand it, come in with our skills and contribution. And so, yeah, vice versa.
Yeah, that's good stuff. So, yeah, we just wanted to mention about just some of the things that work for us. We'll be talking, again, a lot more about this, and we'll pick it up again, but we appreciate you listening. And if you want to ask us any questions on any burning topics on your heart in relationships, and we're not just talking about marriage, we're talking about friendships. If you have any questions in regards to, you know, friendships outside of marriage, any questions on, you know, relationships with authority figures, relationships at work, coworkers, anything surrounding relationships, we want to hear from you. Any questions you might have. Maybe you're struggling with a coworker and it's just been brutal. Well, been there, done that many, many times. So we can help you with that as well. Yeah. And there is an effortless flow, guys. You may not think that right now, but there really is there's a flow to this thing when we move past ego.
It develops,
and we don't defend our ego all the time. When we surrender our ego on an ongoing basis,
it really does
get easier.
Yes, it does. And I just want to encourage the women as well to do all you can to look for the good that your man is doing. And the more you can encourage him in that and tell him what he's doing a good job at, the more he'll want to do the things that you've mentioned in the past. He'll start thinking, oh, all right, I remember she did mention that. You know, I love the way I feel when she encourages me and tells me I'm doing a good job as a man. That speaks love to them so much. And so find anything you can to compliment him and encourage him. And that way he'll feel wanted and needed and want to stay close to you. So,
yeah. All right. Well, until next time.
All right. We love y'all. Thanks for listening. Talk soon.
All right. Bye-bye.